If this was our home, then Jesus wouldn't allow all this pain to happen to us. He wouldn't want us to go through the hardships that we're going through today. Because if we know where our home is, and that is with Jesus, and looking at his promises, we should not be going through that, right? And so this place is not our home. And therefore, I'm willing to put my trust in God. I'm willing to put Jesus on his promises and lead me in my life, knowing that there's a better place than this that we live here. Amen. Something that I will always, forever be grateful for is for my parents. And the reason why is because my parents have taught me about heaven. From little, when I was a little boy in Sabbath school, we'll put all these little things in the on the board. I had no idea everything was happening, but all I remember is that the pleasant feeling of Jesus loving me as a little child, that God cares for me. And in fact, when I was an early teen, I was in Moscow, Russia. I had a dream. I had a dream when I was just laying in my bed and I see Jesus coming in the clouds. I actually see him coming in the clouds, and I was filled with joy knowing that he's actually here. Now, I like those kind of dreams. I want to keep them coming. And I want us to read Revelation 21:4. So if you can open to Revelation 21:4 with me. If you are there, say amen. Here's what it says. It says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no death, no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." So, I don't know about you, but I cannot wait until that day when the day actually comes. When Jesus will come and wipe my tears with his own eyes. And I'm looking at the story of Lazarus. And in the story of Lazarus, when we read the story, when we see Jesus, that he knows that Lazarus is about to die. He knows he's so sick that he's not going to make it. So if he's not going to make it, and if he's Jesus, why wouldn't he go and heal Lazarus? In fact, something that we know is that when Jesus was ministering to people, he would get exhausted from what he was doing, and one of the places to escape, it was a home of Lazarus. So they were friends. They knew each other. And so the moment when Lazarus needed him the most, where was Jesus? And as Jesus and his disciples are walking to Bethany, it was impossible for Lazarus to die if Jesus was next to him. It is impossible, not just for Lazarus, but for anybody who is next to Jesus. You just cannot die. And so as Jesus was walking with his disciples, and then he hears the news, he says, "I need to go and see my friend Lazarus because he's sleeping." Well, if he's sleeping, he'll raise up again. Well, he's dead, but we're going to go and see him. Let's go. So he goes with the disciples. He goes to see his friend Lazarus. And on the way, as he is going there, he sees Martha and Mary. And as they're meeting him, their tears are so overflowing with pain, with suffering, with that empty space in their life now when their brother Lazarus was next to him and he's no longer there. A person that you love so very much that you shared a meal together, that you cleaned the dishes together, that you've done so many things together, is no longer there next to you, that empty space. And here it is. The reason why Jesus would allow that suffering, because he felt their pain. It doesn't mean that he didn't love them, because he waited. He knew that for the sisters, for Lazarus, for himself, and for his disciples, the pain would be worthwhile. What does that mean? How can a pain be worthwhile? All who have reached out for God in pain or sadness should know that God is never closer to us than at the moment of our greatest discouragement. When Lazarus actually died, when Mary and Martha cried before Jesus, what did Jesus do? He wept. He didn't just say, oh, I missed them too. Oh, I'll resurrect them anyways. He wept. Why did Jesus weep? He was weeping because he remembered from all the way to the beginning when Adam, his own child, would walk away from him. He remembered all of his children from the past until this moment when he says, it ached Jesus' heart. So Jesus wept. Not just cried, a little thing. Wept. Wanting more than anything to stop that pain forever. He did not enjoy Mary and Martha crying. It was aching his heart. That is when he finally said, where is he? Move the stone. And here is where we'll get a little glimpse what it will be like when all the believers of Jesus will be resurrected on that glorious day. As I was growing up, they taught me to spend my time in the Word, to go to church, to do what is right. And the longer I live, the more I try to be good. I try to do the best what I can do. But do you know, have you tried reading a Bible in a year? How many of you tried that? I tried that. And it's cool because you're trying to finish all the Bible in just 1 year. But at times, instead of trying to get through the Bible in a year, we have got to get the Bible through us. And instead of just getting another check mark saying that I read this chapter today, I can go on with my life, we might need to just spend a full day with this one Bible verse. The Bible is more than just a picture on the wall. Or we just go read the Bible verse, oh, this is nice, and you move on. Because if we just read it and we don't apply it to our lives, then it's not a living book. It's just another textbook. But thankfully, we do know that the Bible is a living book. It's a book where we do want to slow down. We do want to have the relationship that Jesus wants to have with us, a longing that is being placed in our hearts. The surest way to get into the presence of God is to get into the Word of God. It changes the way we think, the way we feel, the way we live, and the way we love. Luke 11, let's turn to Luke 11, verses 9 through 10. Luke 11, verses 9 through 10. Here it says, and I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will open to you, for everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But what is sad is that at times I even catch myself is that I am forgetting to put God first. That at times I want all the things in the world and I want the desires of my heart. But the problem with that is that desire is not God. We want everything the world has to offer and then we'll see God, but that isn't the way it works. It doesn't work this way because you can't see God second or third or tenth and then expect him to answer the desires of your heart. And I'm actually thankful he doesn't, because there's a lot of desires that shouldn't happen to me. Because I have desires of revenge is not good. Selfishness is not good. And you don't want that. Seeking God first is delighting yourself in the Lord. Seeking God first is giving him the first word and the last word. Seeking God first is making sure his voice is the loudest voice in my heart here and now. And I loved playing soccer. When I looked into heaven, I'm saying to myself, there must be soccer. If soccer is not there, it must be boring. For me, heaven was a place of things, a place that I couldn't wait for. And I'm thankful for God's promise, because in that promise we find that there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more whatever you're going through. And that is a promise that God has given to us. The thing is, Jesus, I'm thinking of Jesus making me the best chocolate cheesecake that I will be satisfied for eternity. In fact, I was thinking, what would my room look like? Built all of gold and like all the beautiful things that everybody would want to come and visit me. You're all invited. It would be a great place, right? A place where I can no longer face pain, suffering, and just do my own thing. I'm thankful for my family. My mom, my dad have raised me. They did their best to make sure that I knew God. I did what is right. But they're not perfect, just like none of us are. When I came to the United States, it was amazing because it was my getaway. I was so excited. I was done with Russia. I love Russia. I love everybody in Russia. But I was just done because I didn't have future there. My future was in computer games. My future was in eating chips and chocolate cheesecakes. And heaven's going to be a healthy one, I'm telling you. And when I came here, I was introduced to my Oregon family. And just recently, I went back there to Oregon. And I preached there. I taught a Sabbath school. It was amazing. And so with my Oregon mom, before she passed away, I did all of those nice, cool things with her. Things that I will cherish for the rest of my life. And I would always call Oregon my home. When I was at PUC, when I was at Andrews, that is my home. And I love that place. And I'm trying to figure out, why do I love that place so much? Well, my Oregon mom made me feel home. She always made me food. She always took me out to make sure I have enough clothing. She always made me feel so special. It's like, wow. When I come home, she would greet me, give me a hug at the airport. I love this place. And it was interesting because even though the house is big, the cars are nice, the area is beautiful, but I didn't look at that as my home. I looked at our relationships with her as my home. And that's what I have realized. And to many of you who got married or went on a date, when you are on that date and you have butterflies and you whatever you have, right? You say, wow, it was like I was in heaven. Did you have that feeling? No, me, not yet. But that feeling of, I'm in heaven. Why? You're with the person that you love. When you dedicate yourself to someone, when you commit yourself to someone that you know that person is worth of my time, is worth of my pain, is worth of all the sufferings that I'm going through, I love that person and I feel like I'm in heaven already. For me, heaven is so much more than just stuff. Just a place where you run around the flowers when you have all the things that you don't have to suffer anymore. But for me, heaven is a relationship with someone very special. It's a relationship that you cannot buy anywhere. The reason why we want to build a good relationship with Jesus is because being with Jesus is being in heaven. Heaven is here and now. Don't wait for it. As much as I crave for that finish line, which would be like my next sermon next Sabbath, I cannot wait sharing with you. Jesus says, you can taste me here and now. And when you do, that is a little taste of heaven. Because I'm the best thing that you will ever find. When we worship and praise our God, we're praising a living God who is within us here and now. Jesus says, whenever you helped any of my people here, ever the weakest person who is the poorest person in this world, you have helped me. You have helped me. When we see Jesus in the faces of each of his children who personally and who have accepted Jesus in their Savior are in a special sense his brothers and sisters. His love binds us all together as members of his heavenly home. When we read John 13, 34 to 35, Jesus says, he's giving them a new commandment. What commandment is that? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for what? For whom? For one another. He didn't say, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love the perfect house that you build. And you are living in that the people will know that you are my disciples. Did he say that? That beautiful home, the beautiful things we build, people know that we're his disciples? He didn't say that. No, he said that by loving one another. We will know, others will know that we are his disciples. So here it is. Jesus is at the tomb. Yesterday and Friday, he gave his life. And he's resting. He's resting, but the Sunday comes. And that is a special Sunday. Because here it is, he comes out of the tomb, resurrected with all glory. And as I was sharing earlier, is that the Pharisees were more afraid of Jesus when he was dead than he was alive. Because what Jesus have preached. And so the Pilate sends 100 soldiers to the tomb. He sends them to the tomb to make sure that nothing happens. And when we read Desire of Ages, it says there were 100 witnesses at the tomb that the Jesus was actually resurrected. And when he did resurrect, it was the best thing that could have ever happened to any of us. Because with that, Jesus has conquered death. And when we read 1 Corinthians 15, it says, if Jesus didn't resurrect, that everything we do is pointless, is useless. There's nothing for us. But here it is. We have Mary. Mary runs to the tomb. She hears a voice. Why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Through her tears, and I love this, Mary only saw a man who she thought must be the caretaker. Did you take him away, sir? She asked. Tell me where you put him, and I will take care of him. If this rich man's tomb was too honorable for Jesus, she would find a place for his body. Mary. The man only said her name. That's all he said. But no one said her name like that except Jesus. She turned and saw Jesus standing before her, alive. Teacher, she cried, springing towards him to embrace him. But Jesus held up his hand, saying, don't hold on to me yet, because I have not yet gone to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them what you have witnessed, that I am resurrected. I'm going back to my Father and your Father. I love that. To my Father and your Father. I'm going back to my God and your God. So Mary rushed back to share her joyful news. And here's probably the coolest part. It says, Jesus refused the worship of men, of angels, of heavenly beings, until he knew that you and I were saved and that his blood was enough. And only when the Father says yes, well done, my child, is only then he allowed for them to worship. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful because that is the assurance that we all have. And so I brought my guitar here. Once in a while, you like to play it, and I want to play a song. It's Blessed Assurance. That join me in singing that song. And then there's another song combined with that. Jesus at the center of it all. So we can be grateful because we have the assurance that Jesus will come again, that this place is not our home. And by having Jesus in our hearts, we already know it, that little glimpse of what heaven tastes like. Nothing should be able to stop us. Nothing.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, the foretaste, glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchaser God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it always be you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you at the center of it all. Oh, 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 oh.
Jesus is the center of it all. And we can be grateful that one day when he comes again, his voice will pierce through the graves. Pierce, it will be the greatest day when all the children of God, all your parents, grandparents, all the best friends that you have are no longer here with us today. We'll see them again by the grace of God. Amen.
Aren't we happy that Pastor Ivan is in our church? I thank you, Pastor Ivan. He didn't know he was supposed to preach until the last minute. So we are so lucky to have him here in our church and so blessed. And I'm so glad he's here. Today, our offering is for the church budget. And it says the church budget, we need about we need about a lot. We need about $13,000, I think. So we'll get that up shortly. I love what it says on the front page of our, it says, "What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine, mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee." On this special weekend that we have for Christ, we want to read about his suffering on the cross for each one of us so that we may gain life. And I saw in Christ Object Lessons, it says, "Look upon the Savior uplifted on the cross. Hear the despairing cry, 'My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' Look upon the wounded head, the pierced side, the marred feet. Remember, Christ asked all. For all our redemption, heaven itself was imperiled. at the foot of the cross, remembering that for one sinner, Christ would have laid down his life. So today as we give, let's give in thankfulness for the Christ that he laid his life down for each one of us. Will the ushers please stand? Dear Heavenly Father, with gratitude today we return to you what is yours. Our hearts are full of thankfulness in giving us your Son to die so that we may live. Please use these gifts today, Father, to strengthen this church. We want to shine unto others outside, so give us the means and bless our Savior and bless our offering today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we have time for announcements, and the very first announcement that we have is that Fallbrook Seventh-day